KBOO Community Radio is looking for a 2018 artist in residence. The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound and awards 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. Deadline for application is June 1st at 5 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/AIR2018.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Depressed Cake Shop Portland on Sunday, May 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Opal 28 in Portland. The Depressed Cake Shop is a one-day pop-up bakery to raise awareness of mental illness through the sale of treats donated by local bakers. The baked goods are gray on the outside and sometimes colored on the inside to symbolize hope, all to encourage conversation about mental health issues. Again, that's Depressed Cake Shop Portland on Sunday, May 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Opal 28, 510 Northeast 28th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
In my bag. Swag. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Queen Talk. I'm your host Kayla, Queen Kitty, Beyonce. I don't know, I'm just a little bit of everything today. I'm waiting for my lovely guest to arrive. She's parking right now. But just to give you an episode overview, we're going to be having an intimate discussion with aspiring author Khadija Broomfield. Let's see, what can I talk about until she gets in here? In Beyonce news, I just saw a photo of Sir, her son, which is like crazy because I thought I was never going to see that child until he was like, I don't know, a teenager. Like I just never, it's just unheard of. Like we didn't see Blue until she was like, well, we saw baby pictures, but like her out and about until she was probably like, I don't know, 3 or something like that. Yeah, around there. So that was really exciting. That was the highlight of my day. So that just goes to show, like, little things excite me. Not sure where Rumi, his sister, was, but that's neither here nor there. Let's see, what am I binge watching right now? I just binge watched A Dear White People season 2. So if you have not seen that, check it out on Netflix. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, check it out on Netflix. Sam is my spirit animal. And basically I just was really infatuated with season 2 because it really touched on the kind of internal struggles that a biracial, female identified individual goes through. I feel like she was really, really struggling this whole entire season, and I just like, I almost wanted to break down and cry like every episode because it was just like my life on Netflix, and I was like, great, maybe I can try out for season 3. Quick shout out to Jack, who is my board for the show. Again, thank you so much. Have you seen Dear White People?
Oh yes.
What do you think?
I love it. I love it so much. I've seen the movie. I've seen both seasons. I really like season 2 and the stuff that it tackles. It's just, the music is so fantastic. I've been listening to it at work, me and my office mate, for like a week now. And it's just, it's so good. And I love that it's ruffled feathers, even now. I love how upset people get about it.
Seriously. Let's see. if you could pick one character that you kind of identify with the most, which would it be? Because I say Sam already.
I know.
But you could be Sam too.
I'm like a bit of Sam with, my brain. With the nerdy dude. With
Lionel?
Lionel.
I felt like you were going to say that for some reason.
I totally feel him because I am an awkward queer myself and like coming to terms with stuff about that and around that and like finding where you fit with that because, you know, and I have tons of memes about it too where it's like, do I want to hang out and be a POC at this moment or do I want to hang out with my queer fam and be, you know, LGBTQ for a moment because you always feel like you're torn between those two things.
Totally.
And so being able to find that community is really hard and you're always like, you always don't quite fit in. You know, there's not a lot of, I don't run into a ton of native, like indigenous LGBTQ folks and often in queer spaces, I'm tokenized and not a unicorn, that's a whole other term, but you know what I mean? Like I stand out and I don't feel like I fit in either way. Like I'm not, yeah, which is why I was so glad I found the term two-spirit because that fits how I feel. I didn't feel like I fit in any of the LGBTQ. I identify as bi for a while, but it didn't quite encompass how I felt completely and two-spirit really did. So finding that community, but also like being able to take a step back and just be like, man, you guys are all weird. Like, yeah. I don't understand half of this, but I'm just going to pretend like I do and just roll with it. And hopefully they'll accept me. And then also, you know, just finding someone cute who like gets you is like that whole thing in season two. Just like, is so cute.
I know. It's literally the cutest. The cutest thing. I'm trying to think. So another thing that's coming on Netflix and I'm like torn is 13 Reasons Why. And I read the book when I was a teenager, so I was interested, obviously, in the show, but I feel like I've seen a lot of posts, which I agree with, that in some, I feel like it really sometimes, like, romanticizes suicide, and I don't know if I can get down with that, so I'm like, I want to watch it, but I don't know if I can get down with the message, you know what I mean, or their portrayals, like, I'm just, like, so torn. What do you feel?
Yeah, so, I don't know if I'm, I mean, I'm not that young or old, but I don't know if I'm young enough to have like been in that era when those books were out. Mm-hmm. I didn't read them. I haven't watched the show, but I have read articles about it. And the articles are partially the reason why I don't watch the show. But I have watched like breakdowns of it and stuff like that. And I can understand the concern of like romanticizing it and really like same way that there's that criticism with Twilight, right, where or like 50 Shades of Grey, where they're romanticizing these incredibly abusive relationships and trying to make stalking and physical abuse and mental abuse like romantic and sexy, mm-hmm. when it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's giving young folks a really distorted standard for, oh, like that's how someone shows affection.
Yeah, that's love.
So I can completely understand that that thing. I also can completely understand, like, I hate this, but I love this. Like,
yeah.
I definitely have shows like that. I watched this show called Hell on Wheels, and it's about, like, building, I can't remember if it's a transcontinental railroad. I don't think it's transcontinental. But it's about, like, settlers building a railroad. And it's, like, this Western drama. And there's, like, a Native dude in it, and he's super cute. But it's like me watching Manifest Destiny happening, but it's like, oh, but the drama, but right. It's so good, but it's so terrible because I hate what these people are actually doing to my land and my people, but oh man, but the drama.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, we definitely have like, you know, everyone's got their problematic fave, right? So, I mean, I definitely feel you on that. It is kind of hard. And then do you want to give them those numbers too of like views and things?
Yeah, I just feel like it's so much harder to watch TV as an adult. You know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, it's like, wow, this is great because I can actually, like, make my own choice and, like, know that these things are unhealthy or know that these things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I was a kid, like, I was just, like, taking in all of the information, like you said, like, categorizing it as, like, oh, this is what a relationship, oh, this is what love is, like, all those things. And so I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword in a way, and I see my guest and she's just out there and she doesn't know which door to come in, and I feel so bad.
Oh no, I'll
Khadijah. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know, I feel like I might watch 13 Reasons Why. I'm just gonna tell you, I'm gonna be real, but I will watch it critically and I will give you guys my honest feedback. But here is my guest of the hour and my favorite god sister. So yeah, like I said, I just want to reintroduce my guest, who is Khadijah. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about her book that she is going to be writing and in the process of writing, a little bit about her background, and yeah, just a little bit of everything. So here we go. Okay, do you want to introduce yourself, even though I gave you a stellar intro?
Yes, thank you for having me, first and foremost. My name is Khadijah. I'm 24 years old. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I grew up in North Portland in the Columbiaville Apartments. It was me, my mom, my brother, and my dad. And we had a poodle named Tone, my first dog. And my childhood was pretty good. Pretty good. I was very spoiled. And it kind of stopped around the age of about 11, 12, when I, you know, thought I was grown, and more so a lot of different things happen at home.
Okay. So do you want to talk about some of those experiences that you had growing up? So like after you were 11, you said everything before then was, you know, pretty copacetic and like, you know, normal in your terms. But like after 11, like what kind of things did you experience?
So pretty much, yeah, around that time, I say like closer to where we had to end up moving out of the Columbiaville Apartments, because they were redoing the whole thing. So everybody had to move. And I say around that time, my mom was just, honestly, I don't like personally know because I was young, but from like watching her, like everything changed. Like she would be more just a little bit different. She stopped working and, you know, just eventually I found out she was, you know, doing drugs. So I say around that time when we left out of there, we moved to Haight and Blandina, and everything just, it was pretty much just
everything kind of just like hit the fan.
Yeah, everything just went all the way downhill. It was just really bad.
Yeah, so how was like your relationship with like your dad at that point in your life when you were like around 11, 12, like when you had to move from the Ville?
I mean, my dad has always been there, and more so like he's not even my biological dad. Mm-hmm. But he brought me home from the hospital. Like, that's my father, and I am so grateful to have him in my life. But, you know, he was just, even though they was together for a period of time, and it, you know, as a kid I don't know as far as how my parents' relationship is. You know, I'm just worried about why my dad here, but I didn't know what was going on with them, you know, initially. So I was like, you know, just trying to like figure it out. But then on top of me figuring it out, it was, okay, my mom's on drugs, my dad is not doing this. So eventually my dad just really just separated himself from the two. You know, like, we looking for my mom, you know, I'm riding my bike around 1 o'clock in the morning looking for my mom. My dad is standing in the window looking for my mom hours at a time. And he was fed up. And I'm sure, you know, as much as it hurt him to separate the two, excuse me, he still remained in our life, period. You know, he would just, you know, pick us up from me and my brother around, you know, the corner from the house or something like that. But he always remained in our life, even though they was going through whatever the case may have been. But I could just tell, even as a kid, I could just tell, like, he was really, really hurt by it. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah. So things were, like, getting a little bit crazy at home. But, like, what about school and things like that? Like, how was that during, like, middle and junior and, I guess, high school, like, the continuum? Like, what was going on there?
So, as far as, like, high school, I never really had, like, I never had a high school experience. So, middle school was, you know, like, of course, you know, I got, you know, pregnant at a young age. But middle school was, it wasn't really a, like, I'm trying to, like, figure out a way to say it. You know, like, it was, I went, but I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, not at all, mentally at all. But so, I was there physically, but I was not there. And eventually, I just stopped going. And I just started running away. I was mad at home. I was mad about what was going on at home. I was hurt. I felt like I wasn't loved. And I just stopped going.
Yeah. So there was like a time between middle school and high school, like a little gap where you were just kind of like doing your thing because, you know, you had so much going on that you just like needed to just do your thing.
Right. And then it's like I wanted to go to school, but it was just like, my head mentally was not for school. Like, I could not sit there and do my work or prepare myself to get an assignment done because I was so worried about, okay, well, what I'm going to eat tonight? Okay, is my mom going to be at home? You know, is my clothes washed? Like, am I going to, you know, like, that type of stuff. So I was just, everything was just overwhelming. So I just decided I couldn't take it anymore. And I was done.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I just, like, sometimes I always was like, okay, I wish I could have went back. But, you know, I can't change anything, clearly. But, and as far as high school, like, around the time, you know, any kid that is not going to school and not participating in any type of education activities, or the system will look into the whatever's going on in the home. You know, they're going to pop up, they're going to call, they're going to call the school, they're going to figure out what's going on. So that eventually happened. And once the system got, you know, start poking into my life and seeing what's going on at home and why is this kid not going to school, I was like, oh, no, I know what's next. You know, they're going to take me from my mom. So I just started running. I was always on the run. Run. And it was like, yeah, I don't know. It was, I mean, I was good at it. Can I say that? But as far as just always being on the run and looking over my shoulder, it was, not being able to eat on time, not being able to shower when I wanted to, staying here and there, not knowing if I was going to sleep anywhere. You know, like, it was tough.
So how did you, like, support yourself during that time? Basically, when you were, like, on the run without supervision, like, what type of things did you do, if you don't mind sharing?
Eventually, I found myself, of course, I was, you know, in the streets, so yeah. I figured out a way to make money in the streets.
Right.
You want me to get in?
I mean, it's as comfortable as you know, like, as open as you want to be. I think that it's, like, important for people to hear like, real stuff on the radio, because right. Everything is so, like, glamorized, and mm-hmm. people have this perfect cookie-cutter life, and then the people who don't, like, can't relate to anybody.
So I started selling drugs. That was the easiest thing I could get my hands on. But one thing about me, I never participated in it, but it was quick, fast, and it was easy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And I feel like that had a lot to do with interrupting my schooling as well, because I needed some money and I needed it now. I needed to figure out, you know, as far as living, clothing, food, phone, whatever the case may have been for me to stay moving and cool at that time as far as money wise. But yeah, that's the main thing.
And then you also talked about you are a mother, you have a daughter, so like when did that kind of come into play?
Sincere.
Yeah.
that happened. Sincere came about around the time where I was on the run. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of staying, like, they were called the Woods at the time, these apartments, whatever. And I had met her dad. And I was so young, you know, I wasn't even, now I think about now as I'm an adult, it's just like, what were you doing? You know, just, but I didn't have love from nowhere, you know, and I feel like I needed, you know, I feel like I know, like, I need to be loved. You know, this person said he loves me. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it was all a lie, you know. And he was older than me. I was young. I was about, I got pregnant at 14, had her at 15. So, but we started messing around when I was, like, 13. He was a good 18, 19. But I just... couldn't nobody tell me nothing. Nothing. Like, I just knew he loved me. But, you know, in all actuality, he had two other women pregnant. And I was the third one. And I looked stupid. Very. But, yeah, it just... Now I look back at it now, like, I'm just so thrilled that I am not ever even thinking of that person. And it's like my kids are on the time where she's asking about her dad, you know. And we're working on things, not as far as him, but I'm working on a way to let my child understand the type of person that her dad is without bashing him, mm-hmm. you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's awesome. And that's, like, important. And a lot of people who've been in a situation similar to yours probably struggle with that as well. So I'm mm-hmm. sure it's, like, good to hear that, like, they're not alone. And I right. think that's, like, one of the most important things about having you today on the show. So you talked about that relationship and how it was, like, unhealthy and obviously, like, inappropriate. But in the moment, you didn't know. You know, you were young. And what about your relationships after that? Did you see kind of a pattern of the type of people that you were getting involved with when you were feeling like you were searching for love or, like, affection or care? Like, do you feel like you were kind of dating the same or getting involved with the same type of person?
I would say in a way, yay and nay, because I know, like, because I've only been in, what, three solid relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm 24. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, the second one was, I never, like, looked at him like, okay, well, he never had, like, the same traits as, you know, Sincere's dad. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, I would say no. Would say that. But the second one was like, okay, I'm going to, like, go back a little bit. Okay, so Sincere's dad was not a relationship. That was him playing with my mind mentally and taking advantage of me because mm-hmm. I was not, you know what I'm saying? Of course, I was young, but I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I didn't know, period, point blank, I didn't know. And, you know, but my second relationship was just way, way worse, more and very, very much abusive. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, and I thank God I got out of that. It was 6 long years, and I feel like it was that long because I was yearning for somebody to love me, you know, and I didn't have that. I was lacking a lot of love. I was on the run, you know. I didn't have nothing. I just felt like I was the black sheep of the family, and nobody wanted to deal with me. And here come this boy, you know, oh, I love you, and we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. And along the lines of us, you know, going on dates and us, you know, the regular relationship type, but it was always him being really, really, really abusive in ways that I couldn't even fathom, and why I would stay and why I'm still here. And, like, what is, I just, and as now that I think about it now, it's just still, like, it dawns on me that I actually was with that person for so long, but I was lacking a lot of things, and I thought that he was bringing that in, but it was a total opposite. Like, I endured a lot of things from that man that no woman deserves at all whatsoever. And I definitely learned my lesson dealing with that. I just, honestly, one thing I will say, whoever listener, whoever, to young women, girls, if you do decide to get in a relationship, please, please make sure that he does not put his hands on you. Mm-hmm. Whether he say he love you, or I won't do it again, or I'm just upset right now, or I got this problem, that do not mean nothing. I can't say what I want to say as far as nothing.
Yeah.
But that don't mean nothing. And it's sad because girls really think, you know, that dudes really love them. And it took me a long time to realize that that was a big N-O.
How did you get out? Like what was the final, you know what I mean? Like, what did you do? I just want to know, you know what I mean?
I mean, like I said, it was a series of events to him just getting mad at a phone call, or getting mad because he didn't have weed smoke. Or just like something like really small. Just, it could be something he would just put his hands on me like really, really like bad. And one day I was sitting there, we was watching a movie, and everything was fine. Nothing happened. Like, we were sitting there watching a movie like a normal day. And all of a sudden, I wake up out of nowhere. I didn't know I was asleep. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know this is probably about the third time he's knocked me out before. And when I woke up, when I came to, I'm like, why am I on the floor? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then I'm going to, like, take a pause on that. Like, as years went past, we, you know, end up, you know, figuring out that he was schizophrenic. And I didn't know that. And that kind of, it made sense as to why he would just lash out out mm-hmm. of nowhere. But like I said, like, I just know that the last time was when he wrapped his legs around my whole torso and had his arm around my neck until I could not breathe. And I tried to scream, I couldn't do nothing. I cannot do nothing at all. He just squeezed. I couldn't come to. And he must have obviously felt that seen that he was doing like too much.
Right.
In my time, he let me go. I just ran out the door. I had a big t-shirt. I have no underclothes. I have no shoes. I have my phone, my purse, nothing. I just ran. I just ran. I got to a phone and I called somebody that's close to me, you know, to help me out and pick me up. And that was the end of it. I could not take it no more. I'm like, you know, as much as I didn't tolerate it for you, as much as I didn't been there and showed you, I not brought no harm to you at all. All you have done consistently is hurt and abuse mentally, physically, and just make me just ugly to where nobody want to be with me. Like, you know, mm-hmm. he said that out of his own mouth. You know, and I had to open up my eyes. And then for my kid, too, like, I could never, like, it's been times where I couldn't even go see her because I had a busted lip. Or I've had two black eyes at one time, so I couldn't even go see my kid for weeks at a time. And I could not have that no more. And another reason, now that reason when I left my dad, I don't know for sure if he was going to cry, but the look in his eyes, like, he's like, you need to leave him alone. You need to leave him alone. Otherwise, he is going to kill you, or you is going to kill him. You got to stop. You got to leave it alone. And my hands been clean.
Thank goodness.
For sure.
Like, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, literally. Because I would have never known. No, you know what I mean? Who knows? Yeah. We would have never been sitting here, you know? So, yeah. Thank sure. goodness.
For sure.
But I'm glad that you brought Sincere up, because we have a special, special song that is the song that you used to sing to her, right? That's what you told me. What is it?
Yeah. It's Heat Wave, Always and Forever. I was, my first foster home was in Hillsboro, and I was just in there. I was so sad. I was really sad.
God, I'm going to cry. Oh, my gosh.
It was so just, I'm like, what did I do? Why, you know, like, why did I have to get taken from my family?
Right.
Why am I here? I was sad. And, you know, like, I'm 14. I got all kind of emotions going on. And I was calling my mom. She didn't answer. And I had, like, a little radio by my bed. And Sarah was, she was so new. She had all this hair. I was like, look at my baby. I was like, somebody that loved me. Like, you know, I have somebody that finally loved me for me, and that's always gonna love me because this is me. And the song came on. I'll never forget, she was asleep, and like I said, she's probably about a good 3 days old, if that. And it's her first little smile. I never forget. It was like a little, like, you know, like them babies, like, I can't do it. You know, like the little
trying to figure out corner, how to smile.
Yeah. And it just, the song just like, and it just came on. And then when it came on, when she heard that little tune, she just cracked that little smile and I started singing it to her. And ever since then, I just sung it to her when she went to bed.
Oh, so
sweet. Well, I knew you was going to have me on here crying.
We want, girl. You don't cry. I need to start bringing some tissues in here. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, this is too real. But we're gonna play that for you.
Okay.
So Jack, if you could play that, really, thank you.
Always and forever, each moment with you is just like a dream to me that somehow came true. And I know tomorrow will still be the same, 'cause we've got a life of love that won't ever change. And every day, love me your own special way. Melt all my heart away with a smile. Just the things that you do. And if you get lonely, phone me and take a second to give to me that magic you make. And every day, love me your own.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Queen Talk, episode 7. If you're just tuning in, you missed some really great stuff. But I'm doing a personal interview with aspiring author Khadija, and she just gave us a little synopsis of her life growing up and some things that she's been through. And right now we're going to kind of switch the course. And now that we've heard more about your story, would you mind explaining to listeners where you feel you are at this point in your life? And what inspired you to want to write an autobiography?
So as of right now, I am, as far as working, I work at POIC, Rosemary Anderson High School, where I attended and received my GED. Okay. I'm a mentor, and I have a girls group. Basically, my girls group is just learn about, you know, like, women rights and, you know, what it takes to be, I would say woman in the making, but, like, somebody you would want. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I'm trying to figure out, like, the rights. Basically, why I did girls group is to have, like, to, always wanted to be somebody I didn't have. And I didn't have the type of groups or any type of something as far as this group is what I'm doing. I didn't have nothing like that growing up in the system. And I feel like a few of my girls have a lot of similarities as far as growing up. And, like, I just wanted to teach them about, like, self-love, self-worth, like, life goals, like, work goals. Like, as far as, like, you know, school starts here. Like, they can look at school as, you know, like, kind of like a job role, just as far as them having to deal with certain, you know, skills they don't like, and just letting them know that this is just the beginning. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to teach them life skills and team building skills, as far as, like, not to, I'm going to say this. Our main thing we've been working on right now is to, every action does not need a reaction. Mm-hmm. So that's the main thing we are working on right now, for sure. And I'm actually grateful for my girls group. I love all my girls, and I am so, so grateful I had the opportunity to have one.
Yeah, and I think they really, really appreciate it. And I feel like it was definitely needed. And I think that, you know, you're the perfect person for it, just because of the things that you've been through and how far you are and how far you've came. And it's just, like, I just feel like it's more relatable, especially for the youth that we work with. Like, they can see themselves in you, and I feel like they can't say that for a lot of staff members, you know, myself included. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate that, Kaylor.
You're welcome. So how do you feel like you've grown, like, as a person, like, as far as, like, relationships and, like, your personality? Like, you know, how do you feel, like, from then to now, like, you've grown?
I can say I have grown a lot. And it can be, like, something from just small things, like, as far as me just lashing out or just having an attitude or being upset about things that I shouldn't be upset about, or just reacting to people in a different manner as to where I would back then if somebody did come at me in, like, a negative tone or, like, a disrespectful way. I'll just, like, okay, well, maybe you're upset right now. You know, you have a good day. But no, it's like honestly, like, that's one of my personal things I'm working on, is how to deal with them. You know, just like I'm teaching my girls, every action, you know, doesn't need a reaction. And as far as, like, oh, wait, I'm sorry, what was? I can definitely say I have way better people skills, way better, because, like, I've been tested for sure, and I've actually handled the situation rather well, because I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't. And I honestly say, like, with my attitude back then, and just as how just like even me coming up, how I did come up. Mine is like not as far as my childhood year, just as far as I did end up, you know, going to this, through the system and what I've been through and how it changed my mindset. And really, I really just became just a angry person and just depressed. And overall, over the years, I say like I've learned how to really cope, and I'm actually, I can like really give myself a pat on the back, because like there's, from me thinking about like now situations, how I've held them, and from back then I probably would have been back in jail or something. Like I didn't really came a long way. I feel like I don't really give myself enough credit, but I have came a long way for sure. I didn't even know, I didn't think I was, like I told you, I didn't think I was going to see 18.
I know. I was so surprised when you said that, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to see 18 at all. I'm about to be 25 at the end of this year.
You're 25. You have a 10-year-old. Like, you are just, like, living life. You're working. Everything. Like, it's literally, like, amazing, I feel like.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I want to, I forgot to say this. But if anybody wants to call in and ask Khadija anything that she's talked about or anything you're interested in, the phone number is 503-231. Oh, my God. I don't have my glasses on. 8187. I literally couldn't read that. That's right. Right, Jack? Okay. I just want to make sure. So 503-231-8187. And you can call in and, you know, ask her a question, or just like give a comment about anything that you heard. Make it appropriate, make it nice. We have no room to hate, just celebrate and congratulate and love, and just, you know, give her some props because she deserves it. Thank so the you. Number is, you're welcome, 503-231-8187. Hopefully someone out there is listening, or we're just talking to ourselves, which is fine. Yeah, but shout out to everyone who is listening. Don't be shy to call. I'll repeat the Please number do. A little bit before the show ends, but I want to talk about your book more. I'm really anxious to know, like, what is the title of your book?
So, you know what's crazy? I've been wanting to write it, like, the first, like, when I got into care, I was like, I got to do some of this. Like, I was really into poetry. Like, I wish I had all my poetry books, because I wrote a lot of poetry. Like, anytime I was feeling depressed, down, happy, sad, whatever, like, I always written poetry. And I was, like, really, really good at it. But, The system, like, I don't know if many people know, but the system is, like, really foul. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Kevin, are you there? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to say.
Tevin.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. No, it's my boyfriend. Combined culture. Tevin.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I just wanted to say that was an inspiring story. Khadija, growing up in the Bay Area, I used to listen to that song all the time. You know, that's a real beautiful song. I'm glad you used to sing that to your daughter. And yeah, just keep holding it down. You a strong woman. You a strong Black woman. You a Nubian queen, my sister. Both of you guys are. So just wanted to spread some love. Keep fighting and stay strong.
No, thanks, Tev. She's like over here about to cry again. She's like shocked. Do you want to say?
Thank you.
Yep, yes. Y'all keep holding me down. I'll see you at dinner.
Okay, peace out. Yeah. Thanks. Well, that was great. She's hot. She's freaking out.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's Jack. No, it's totally fine. Tevin, everyone thinks he says Kevin. He has an accent.
And I'm partially deaf.
That doesn't
like
him.
Okay, yeah.
That doesn't sound like
it's
him.
It's okay. No worries. But anyways, we're all waiting on the edge of our seats. Literally me. What is the name of your book?
Oh, so my book is called File Number. It's called File Number because I was not ever addressed to Khadija, ever. From a caseworker I confided in, told many secrets to, and she ended up, of course, doing what she had to do in parentheses. Right. But, yeah, I was always referred to as a file number. So, and I'm actually working on to get the exact file number that it was.
That's amazing. That's such a good like metaphor, and like that's so creative. You were meant to be an author, literally. But we do have your god sister here, Shawnees. Do you want to say anything really quick, just like about listening? She's like, no, she's shy. She's over here just recording. She's being so supportive. What a great
thank
god
you.
Sister.
I love her so much. She has like been a big.
Oh my gosh, we got people calling in now. Okay, Shawnees, we love you. You get the picture. But Kiki's on the line.
What's up, lady?
Hey, girl. Hey.
I just had to come and say, I can vouch for Khadija. She's like night and day, and I'm proud of you. And I just want you to keep pushing through even the hard times, because nothing's worth having if it's not working for.
Right.
So keep doing what you're doing, because you will keep getting better as a person. And keep on listening, and keep on doing you.
Right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, for sure, for real.
You're welcome.
Aww, all right. Thank you, Kiki.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Yeah, work.
Man, you got love, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, people really, like, you have, I feel like I've only known you for a short amount of time, but, like, just seeing, like, the people that you choose to keep around you and people you choose to distance yourself from at this point, like, I feel like you're really, like, making the right choices. Like, right. You're thinking about your, what you need, you know, and putting yourself first for, it seems like, one of the first times in your life,
in
which is, like,
time.
Yeah.
In a long time.
That's
I'm still kind of like yeah. I'm still kind of like surprising myself, like, okay, I'm doing something that I actually want to do and something that's for me, like, not saying that, you know, I don't if somebody, you know what I'm saying, like, anybody that ever called me or whatever the case may have been, it, oh, I need this, need that, whatever, okay, it's what it is. But as far as like me finally doing something for myself and trying to be successful while I'm doing it, this is like my first step, and I'm trying to, you know, keep striving and keep going.
I'm gonna jump in here real quick.
Please do.
This is Jack. I just want to say I have been so touched just listening in on the show. Every time I board up, I'm like, oh, I could totally relate to this show. I grew up in Hillsboro. I'm an adoptee.
Okay.
So like I work in Indian child welfare. I work with Indigenous foster youth and adoptees. And I just really want to say, like, the work you're doing is so needed and so important, and it's so beautiful to see folks like us using our lived experience to help the next generation to turn around and help those who are going through the same thing. And just hearing the feedback from youth that I've worked with and who have had similar mentors, it means the world to them to see somebody who's gone through the stuff that they've gone through and make it out the other end, and to have an adult tell them it's going to be okay, you're going to be okay, you're going to make it through this. And it's so powerful just to hear your story, and you're really, it's beautiful to see you make the impact that you're doing. And I just please continue to do what you do, because you're truly making the world a better place for the next generations to come, and for your daughter's generation and her kids and beyond. So I'm just very thankful to be here.
So much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That is so nice. See, you're a celebrity.
Oh my god!
I'm so happy that she's here. I'm getting so much clout on my show. We're spreading the news about file number. Like, we're about to be out there. Catch me on her book tour release. Okay. I will be out there. Me and Shawnees, we'll be out there repping her shirts, gear, all that. We're doing it big. She won't get on the mic. I keep asking her.
We have Janetta on the line.
Janetta, hey.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Good. I wanted to comment on Khadija. Great job with coming out with the book. Mentorship is needed with our youth, but be sure you're protecting yourself at all costs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I am an old person with pink society cancer.
Oh, okay.
And I've had a rough time. I have people who are portraying my name and image and everything. So be careful. Make sure you have a lawyer back up for you. And congratulations.
Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. And you take care.
All right, you take care too.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's That's actually something we didn't really talk about is, like, when you do blow up, because you're going to, like, you really got to have me and Shawnee's because we will have your back. We will get a lawyer.
No, y'all going to be the main. Like, no, like, all jokes aside, like, you guys will definitely be whatever, managing whatever events or whatever. That's when y'all got to build y'all relationship. And y'all come together, sip y'all little wine, and have y'all meetings and figure out where we're going for the tour or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But y'all are my...
We got to remember, K-Boo put us on the map, too. That's another thing. Oh, no, for real.
We're going to put some money up in here. We're going to get y'all some... We're going to do this, okay?
We're going to fireplaces in between. We're going to get flat screen TVs, waterfalls, chocolate fondue.
No, for real. What's that?
It's like, you know, like the fountain of chocolate that you can, like, put fruit in, and then it puts the chocolate on the fruit. She doesn't really like chocolate. Mm-mm. She doesn't like sweets.
I like chocolate, but I don't like all that fruity frosting whipped cream stuff.
Well, we're going to like it, and we're going to do it. So, do you want to say anything more? I want to shout out the number one more time because we're going to wrap up and play our outro song. It's 503-231-8187 if you want to call in and give a nice comment or a question to Khadijah before we wrap up. Is there anything that you want to say just that we didn't touch on, or maybe I just, like, skipped over on the script because...
I'm just like I said, like, this book is dedicated to Sincere's and I, Brumfield, my only child. And I just basically, because I've always doubted myself, never believed in myself. And I want and need for her to realize that anything she, you know, put her mind to, anything she wants to do, she can do it as long as she stay focused and consistent and whatever she wants to do, and it will get done. And it took me a while to, you know, come to that and realize that. And like I said, you know, I'm still working on things. I'm still working on that too as well. But and for my mom, I kind of wanted her here. Mm-mm. I wanted my mom here. I really did. It's kind of sucked that she can't, you know, be here. But even though, like, my mom, I don't want to, you know, necessarily just, you know, put her out there and blame her for this and why it's happened. You know, my mom wasn't, you know, all the way there. I was sick around the time, you know, I came into the system. You know, drugs, when you're on drugs, you're not yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not the same person. I'm still working on forgiving her. I'm still trying, but I just wish my mom could have been here. I really do.
Yeah. So we have one more caller. Is she still on the line, Michaela? Are you there? I love your name, girl. Yeah. Hey, girl.
I am here. Khadijah, girl, I've known you since forever. We used to call each other Skittles and Sour Skittles when we would play kickball at Humble.
I remember.
Have grown so much. I've been in tears this entire time. I didn't know a lot of these things. I knew some things. Girl, we used to be really close. So I know some of these things that have happened, but I'm so proud of you for opening up and sharing your story, because it's one of those stories that everybody needs to hear. This book, I need it. Whatever tour dates, I need them. So please let me know. I just want to let you know I love you. I've been texting Kayla this whole time. Like, I love this. I love her. Please let her know I'm so proud of her. And, yes, I'm so proud of you from the adult standpoint of who I am now. You're doing amazing. Your daughter is so cute. You're doing so good with her. You're doing so good with yourself, and just continue to be the empowering woman you are.
Thank you.
I love you.
Kayla, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. How you been, girl?
No,
I'm good.
Oh.
Look, reunion.
Reunion time next episode. Okay. Y'all got it. Michaela and
Thank
Khadijah.
You, though. Appreciate that, Michaela. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. And you'll get it once I get my book out. You'll get a copy. Yes, everybody going to get one.
Thank you so much to everybody that tuned in. Thank you to Khadijah, obviously, for being here, telling your story, being open with us. Thank you to Jack for being our board and chiming in and just being awesome in her awesome show beforehand.
Thank you.
And Shanice. Like, thank you to everybody. Yeah.
Thank K-Boo. You, Jack.
Appreciate Shout out, K-Boo. Appreciate Shout out, Beyonce.
Thank you.
And we're literally going to end the show on a great note. Cardi thank B, what's you. Up? What's good?
You can f*** with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't with you. I'm a boss to a worker. I make bloody moves. Now she say she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at. You know where I be. You in the club just to party. I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f- about who in front of me. Drop two mixtapes in 6 months. We're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these. Don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say ghosts. I'm who they trying to be. Look, I might just chill in some babe. I might just chill with your boo. I might just spill on your babe. My feel like a lake. He wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay. I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent in the new whip. When it go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these things be mad at me. They baby father wanna build. Say, little, you can f*** with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss to a worker, I make bloody moves. If you a you get popped. You a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way. You can't hang around my block. And I just check my accounts. Turns out I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I put my head above my hip. I bet you dip, he dip, she dip. I say, I get the money and go. This is high like a stove. My glitter is gold. Tell that little bitch her roll. I just a rope and a rose. I just came up in a rave. I need to fill up the tank. No, I need to fill up the safe. I need to let all these know they none of them go to dinner and steaks, only the real can relate. I used to live in the peas, now it's a crib with a gay. Rolly got charms, a life on the place. Hard to let these know, just in case these forgot. I just wanna check the mail, another check from all the doctors. You can f*** with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting. So don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss to a worker, I make bloody moves.
Community Radio is a proud co-